Hello and welcome to the Tantra for Gay Men podcast, hosted by Jason and Ingo Tantra. Here we're exploring spirituality and personal growth through the practice of Tantra, the body, energy and sex. Hello there, I'm Jason Tantra and welcome to episode 16 of the Tantra for Gay Men podcast, where Ingo and I are talking about preparing for a tantric ritual. We talk a lot about what ritual is as a solo practice, something done with other people. We talk about the divine and the sacred, and listen all the way through because it's one of those podcasts where we go down a certain track and we come all the way around some really good insights and ideas. We talk about the healing and surrender retreat that we're holding at the end of November, early December. So lots to listen to in this podcast. Take care. Enjoy. Hello, beautiful Ingo.
Hello, my darling Jason.
Guess where we are? We are in episode 16.
Oh, God, we've come a long way, haven't we? So we started the beginning of this. No, when did we start?
In January, I think.
In January to record our first podcast episode. Yeah. And now we are in September. We've come a long way, haven't we?
In this time of recording, we're coming to you from beautiful, sunny Benidorm. As I was saying, we were chatting the other day, weren't we? We were like, after the festival,
yes,
after the diploma weeks, after being in very spiritual places. I think one of the things that's probably, I don't know if it's unique about us, but one of the features, I think, of you and me is that we love contrast.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
And we love totality. And for me, you know, when I look at the Osho's teachings, Osho being the father of Tantra, he talks about living life in totality, being everywhere. And I think Benidorm is the Las Vegas of Europe.
Yes, and people say like, oh, Benidorm, that's like unhinged Mediterranean partying or something like that. And how can you like that? You're so spiritual. And I'm like, this is spiritual in a certain kind of way, isn't it? Yeah.
How many people from the north of England have we met that are liking our doggy?
Dozens per day, and we have very, very interesting conversations. Yeah.
So, yes, we are recording this coming to you from where the sun is shining and, yeah, beautiful days of recovery from our teaching summer. And here we are with you today's podcast. Should I tell you the theme?
Yes.
Today's theme is preparing a tantric ritual. Preparing a tantric ritual.
Hmm.
And one of the things, I don't know if you want me to launch into that.
Yes. Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting one because I don't think many people sit at home thinking about creating a tantric ritual. Actually, I probably say it's like 0.0% of something. But for me, there's two aspects of ritual that I want to offer this podcast to talk about. One is about the early days of our relationship and our relationship with ritual, and also in the decades that we've been teaching, what I've observed in rituals that we've created in Tantra. And before I even step into those in depth and in detail, for me, ritual has a place if you would be classing yourself as a spiritual person, as somebody that's practicing Tantra. That could either be a solo practice, or it could be a solo practice and practice with another person, maybe a partner, other persons. And I think ritual, the idea of ritual, has a very sacred, divine and special place in each of those descriptions that I've given. And for me, ritual is a way to, well, I think one idea that occurs to me, ritual is one way of being that is outside the paradigm of your normal day-to-day self that is operating. So for example, you know, I'm sure we could come up with 100 different rituals, but like say you were doing a ritual of devotion to your tantric lover, devotion evokes a certain way of behaving, a certain way of being. And that enables you to be something other than you that was, I don't know, checking your emails, finishing work, shopping, doing your weekly shop. So I think ritual gives an opportunity for you to experience yourself other than the way that you operate in your day to day.
May I, before we really launch into this, mm-hmm. and I think you have already mentioned a few hallmarks of what ritual is, but would it be okay if I come up with my concept of ritual?
Go for it.
What it is, because this was also something. Well, ritual was something that changed my life, especially when it comes to sex and intimacy, and so. Now, after many years of Tantra, I would say it's the following thing. In my mind, and in Tantra as well, ritual is something by which we take something mundane mm-hmm. and put it into a ritual space. So, for example, we take sex and make a ritual out of it. And ritual space for me means three things. Mm-hmm. It means we are bringing an intention to it. Mm-hmm. Second, we are bringing awareness to it and consciousness in a certain kind of way to make things conscious in there that weren't conscious previously. And the third one is that we allow different spaces of alternative spaces of meaning come up, mm-hmm. which might be, you know, a little bit, you mentioned it already, which might be a little bit difficult to understand if you haven't really done it. Let me explain. So sex, for example, for me personally, when I before I met Tantra, sex often was something that, you know, that I was stumbling into, mm-hmm. basically. Something not very planned, something, oh, now it's coming up. What do I really want? I don't know. So let's just see what comes up. Let's just see what the other person does, but not very, neither planned, nor with a clear intention, nor with much awareness to it. Mm-hmm. And then what I learned in Tantra is that if you bring an intention to this, mm-hmm. and there can be many intentions, as you said, and we can go into that much more. So, for example, what is the intention of my sex today? Mm-hmm. Do I want to bring that other person maximum pleasure? Mm-hmm. Do I want to bring myself maximum pleasure? Mm-hmm. Do I want to let steam off? Mm-hmm. Do I need to be held? You know, these are already so many different intentions that you could go into that.
What would be some spiritual intentions that you would add into that? Because everything you named there was about pleasure for either the other person, yes. or myself. What would be other...
These are intentions that could just be for my mundane sex to uh-huh. make a ritual. This is not Tantra.
Yes.
This is basically ritualized sex. Mm, mm. But this is something, to ritualize your sex is something that you learn when you first start to do Tantra. Mm-hmm. And then as almost like a second layer on top of that, mm-hmm. you this is the aspect of the meaning, mm-hmm. Is about learning that sex in that ritualized context can have many more meanings and many more functions mm-hmm. than normal mundane sex. For example, it can be used to enter meditative states, mm-hmm. to enter spiritual states, and so on and so forth. But again, if you want to do that, you don't want to stumble into sex and just do whatever mm. comes up. You want to have a clear intention. Mm-hmm. You want that to be very, very conscious, mm-hmm. and you want to steer your sex into towards that what you want to reach by that intention. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I'm still not clear about the intention around. For me, Tantra is about using sex mm-hmm. and sexual energy as a way to contact the divine.
Yes.
And what I mean by contacting the divine it's about stepping out of the you that has sex in the way that mm-hmm. you normally have sex, the stepping out of the you that is operating at a certain functional level, mm-hmm. and enabling yourself to be that that exists beyond those personas.
Yes.
Mm. Beyond ego.
Yes. But how does this... How does this come together with ritual?
Because ritual is a mechanism. It's like the engine, the cogs of the wheel that are operating, that create the experience for you to experience that.
Yes.
So what I mean by that mm-hmm. is, imagine you were just, I don't know, jacking off with another guy, okay? Mm-hmm. And you're there just wanking or jerking off and you're just doing that. If, say, you were doing it, doing a tantric ritual, actually it might be that you're looking into your partner's eyes mm-hmm. and maybe you're touching him and he's touching you and there's something else that occurs between you, mm-hmm. something that is very intimate, something that is very special, something that is beyond just pleasure grabbing. There's something shared. And also, I'm curious around how that can become something divine, how that can become something sacred, mm-hmm. something spiritual.
I think we are completely on the same page.
Okay.
It's just that I want to basically take those of you, dear listeners, who, you know, who haven't heard of Tantra, mm. and what is a ritual? And I say you start by taking sex mm-hmm. in this case, and by putting an intention to it. And this intention, as you say, mm-hmm. it can be spiritual, mm-hmm. but it could also be non-spiritual. It could be, for example, just honoring your partner, mm-hmm. and just for it to be that, and that would be a ritual as well. So you're basically elevating something that has many aspects of unconscious behavior to it, to something that has a clear intention, and we are working towards that goal. Mm.
As you're saying that, mm-hmm. one of the things then that occurs to me, say that you're in a relationship, mm-hmm. actually, what you might do is use ritual as a way on a Friday night.
Exactly.
As a way to put aside the parts of you in relationship that are doing the day-to-day stuff in the world mm-hmm. and to create another place mm-hmm. where you can both actually meet, where you can create a place where the two of you are in ritual, mm-hmm. experiencing each other beyond the ways that you do on a functional day to day. That could be for deeper intimacy. That could be yes. to emotionally reset the relationship. And it could also be that there's like a sacred journeying together into different spiritual experiences.
Exactly. And this is something, you know, that we have recommended this mm. to people who come to us, for example, saying, oh God, we have been married, we are a couple, our sex life has somehow faltered, mm-hmm. we are bogged down in work, and as you say, it's the first thing to bring sex back in your life, for example, is through ritual, is through yep. consciously making a space and consciously mm-hmm. saying, these 2 hours, for example, on a Friday evening, they are just for us. Mm-hmm. They're for our intimacy, for our sex, and the intention, and we will work towards that intention, is to bring intimacy back. Mm-hmm. And this is basically, I feel, how ritual can very, very... basically, but powerfully, mm. work already towards bringing your sex life to another level. And then, as you say rightly, then at some point, the question is, what now? And what about Tantra in there? That's the next level, so to speak. Does it make sense?
And for me, as you're saying that, some ideas of what that might look like, mm. I think there's something about preparation and discussion and deciding what that ritual looks mm-hmm. like. So it could be, okay, we're going to engage our sexual energy, but we're both going to choose not to come for 1 hour.
Yeah.
And actually in that hour, we're going to maybe start off with a bath together.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do a bath ritual, like a bath massage, maybe different accoutrements that you can buy mm-hmm. to bath. And then maybe we're going to do some massage together.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to do some joint cock massage together with the intention of building a closeness and intimacy. So these are like practical things that mm-hmm. you can do. To be honest, at some level, it doesn't actually matter what you do, as long as it supports you getting into that intention of greater connection together.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
So as we're talking about ritual, I think one of the things that I'm reminded of, Ingo, is when we first got together
mm-hmm.
and you would fly in on a Friday evening, or I would fly into you
mm-hmm.
on a Friday evening. We would have late Friday evening, all mm-hmm. day Saturday, all day Sunday till about 4 o'clock before we then had yeah. to make the journey home.
Those were the days, yeah.
And I think we lived like that probably for about 2 years, every other weekend.
Something like that, yeah.
And for me, what was incredibly powerful at that time, what I remember, I don't know what your experience was. One is that just feels incredibly special, because I think we were at an incredibly special part in our life. And, you know, Tantra was very important to both of us at that point. And we would spend days in ritual. And there was also something around, you know, I remember buying an inflatable jacuzzi in the garden for us to carry on our ritual in there. We would use the bath. Do you remember the bath? Mm-hmm. We would use that. We would have a massage place in our temple. We'd create a temple with an altar. Do you remember when we had the altar by the fireplace?
Yeah, in the front room.
We would bring in food in different ways. Either I would cook, or we would buy in food, or even go out for food. But there was just something about that quality of presence. I think because when I first met you, and you're even more than that, but at that point you were so incredibly precious to me. And I think there was also a level of preciousness because of the long distanceness of the relationship.
Because we only had like 3 days two and a half days every 2 weeks or something, yeah.
But there was also something for me about the fact of the distance between us that made the time that we were mm-hmm. together so much more valuable and so much more precious. That when we both got together with that joint intention, that created an additional dynamic
mm-hmm.
to that preciousness and that sacred, and for me then that sacredness. And, mm-hmm. you know, I remember very, very prolonged states with you. I would be so moved by what we shared that it was like my whole world. I don't know how else to describe it.
Yeah, I remember we, I think we were in a really, really special, those were really special years because our relationship was quite new.
Mm-hmm.
B, we weren't together all the time. Mm-hmm. So we were like, okay, let's really go to use that time to the mm-hmm. max. And C, we had just, we were both in Tantra training. That means we had... I think we had a huge toolkit of what to do, and we were just basically made aware of the importance of ritual and what you can do with it. And I don't think we saw it like that at that time, but now by hindsight, I would actually say we almost had a very long list of intentions of things we wanted to work on through being together. And that often like sprang from, you know, where we were at in our everyday life, for example. Okay, we really need a weekend where it's all about just soothing or something like that. Mm. Or we need a weekend where we are both really horny and we want to see where we can push that. Mm. Or then the next weekend was
meditative,
you know, meditative, something, mm. something.
But I also remember one thing in the practices is that the experiences mm-hmm. that we would have would take us into different realms, different mm-hmm. states of consciousness. I mean, it just felt like a dream, that time that we had together.
Yeah.
It felt otherworldly.
Well, that is the other layer that came in at that time, didn't it? That's, you know, all of you, dear listeners, you know, if you have listened to this before, you know why I at least am in Tantra, is, and that's because of this otherworldly, mind-altering, spiritually opening quality of sex that can be opened via tantric techniques. Mm-hmm. And of course, once you are in that tantric training, everything in sex becomes like that. So these rituals usually were obviously not just soothing, but then it opened up deeper and deeper. And I remember one weekend that was, you know, on the surface, it was all about, oh God, I feel done from this week's work. I need something soothing. But once we started soothing, then it opened up layers and layers into what can soothing your soul really mean in a much, much deeper, almost meditative level, and all of that. Do you remember?
Mm.
And so what I'm saying is that each of these intentions, they, once you really go in, put them into a ritual, they open up deeper and deeper layers,
yes,
of your being, so to speak. Does that make sense?
Do you remember at the time we also were part of a peer group?
Yeah, that as well.
And we would create weekend. I think, did we do one like once every 6 months? It felt like that once.
I think it was even more.
Really?
In its heyday, like 3 times per year.
Yeah. And one couple would take responsibility for the practice for that weekend. And I remember that we took everything we shared into the group experience and created group rituals and group practices. And again, what I'm wanting to say here is that ritual isn't just about a couple, although it can be really useful tool for a couple, can also be really useful as a group practice.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't even touched on solo practice, which I would like to do later. But where I thought we may be usefully go now is talking about ritual in the Tantra that we've taught over the last 19 years, because I've seen ritual in different aspects. So, you know, typically, generally, if we're teaching a Tantra week or a Tantra weekend, you know, the first evening, isn't it, or the first introductory session is about meeting other people.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's about seeing who's in the room, seeing how you feel. I guess it's also about feeling safe. You know, do I feel safe here? Can I be vulnerable here? Can I bring all parts of myself, my erotic self? And we've also offered our students often quite complex rituals. So there's a couple that I'm minded of. One is, you know, a cathartic healing anal massage as a process to kind of clear out all of the energy, all of the clogs in the energy, and to kind of liberate and feel free using anal massage as the technique, but actually having it held and guided. There's something about the practice of ritual, the intention of ritual, that goes beyond the techniques, that creates experiences that people would perceive as being profound.
Well, I think when we create these rituals for others as ritual holders, there's an additional there's an additional layer to it, which is the container that can hold the depth of the intention. Like, as you mentioned, for example, if we create a ritual in which we use sexual energy, in this case, the energy created through anal massage, where we use sexual energy to flush through, let's say, emotional blocks that someone may be experiencing, to take these into a kind of flushing through / catharsis kind of thing. That is a ritual that needs a container in which everything that comes up will be held, so to speak. And that's in that situation, we offer that as ritual leaders. And for me, the most important thing in there is that the ritual holder has really, really gone far with that ritual. And I think what we create there as a container is, it's like a space of permission. You can really explore yourself here, but you will be totally held because we have been there. We know the power of these techniques that we are going to use, and we can basically create this container in which you can feel safe to explore parts of yourself that you haven't seen yet, and you will be held in that.
Well, and often and frequently things come up for people.
Yeah.
That could be new realizations. It could be a previous trauma that is ready to be addressed.
Exactly.
It could be a new paradigm of experiencing something like completely like, wow.
Exactly.
It could be many, many things.
Yeah. And that, but for these things to occur, it needs to have a strong enough container, because what you mentioned, what these things have in common for people is it's an unknown part of themselves.
Yes.
Or a partly known part of themselves that comes into awareness, you know, like states of mind that they didn't know that they didn't know before, but it's within their personal potential.
Yes.
So and I feel for the system to let go into that unknown and bring that up into awareness, there needs to be, you as a person need to feel safe and held in that strong container. And this brings us back to the question of ritual, because that's the other aspect. It's a strong, held container.
And for me, as you're talking, what I'm reminded of then, is ritual another way for saying it's like a stage, like a play without any script to play out? And all that's playing out is what's really going on in the moment. And nobody knows where that's going. Nobody knows what's going to happen. It's like the now is happening on stage, being witnessed, being held. And for me, I think one thing that we haven't yet touched upon is what I would call the mystical aspects of ritual. Because there's sometimes, like what I felt between you and I, what I've witnessed in group rituals, there is often a something else that happens. And I think you touched on this when you said it's like the unconscious parts of self being played out. There's the parts of you that you know that are there happening, and at some point there's like something else that kicks in that can take it in literally any direction.
I love the way when you said there is no script to be played out.
Yes.
But what the ritual has is it has a container.
Yes.
Container meaning a space where all of you as the participant of ritual can feel safe and can feel permission to let go into whatever happens. It has intention. And then we can throw ourselves into that. And, you know, I feel one of the very important things is that in Tantra, what we believe in Tantra is that we as our full potential are so, so, so much more than we are aware of. So what I think I am, it's just the tip of a little iceberg.
Yeah.
What I really am, well, of course, from a spiritual perspective is, you know, the universe, everything. But there is just so much more that is only partly known, that is unknown, that is, you know, depending on what kind of language you use, you could say that there are parts that are, you know, in the subconscious, there are parts that are collective subconscious, personal subconscious, things like that.
Yep.
But in order to let this material come up and be experienced, mm-hmm. so that we experience, wow, we can't, we are not just who we think we are. Mm-hmm. We are much, much more than that. Mm-hmm. And that happens, I feel, when a good ritual happens in which three things come together. The container, so
yes.
you can see it feel safe.
Yep.
The intention,
mm-hmm.
i.e. where are we headed,
mm-hmm.
plus the right combination of technique mm-hmm. that brings this, that has the potential basically mm-hmm. to bring these things up. And as you said, when these things come together, then what you're falling into, what comes up into your awareness,
mm-hmm.
ideally are things that you didn't know about yourself before. And these things indeed, as you say, they have no script. These processes, you know, the ritual is again the container to have a safe exploration of these processes. That's how I see it.
And that for me is where the magical and the mystical can come in.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've talked about this, about what I call the three relationships mm-hmm. of Tantra.
Mm-hmm.
For me, you know, there's three relationships. There's what's happening with you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we'll talk about like solo practice in a moment, because I think mm-hmm. that has its place. And then I think that there's then what's happening between me and others.
Mm-hmm.
So how are we relating? What's yes. happening in our connection together?
Yeah.
And then I think there's also then what's happening in me, in together, but then in the wider, the relationship with the divine, with yes. the mystical.
Yes.
And when those all kick in together, it has the potential for profound
mm-hmm. yeah.
experiences that leave people in awe for decades, quite frankly. Like I know at the end of our ecstasy and orgasm diploma week, there yeah. is a ritual yeah. that we do that has not yet let us down.
Mm-hmm.
And defies all logic.
Mm-hmm.
And if we could convey to people that there was a universal orgasm to be experienced by every participant, and that there's just a something that happens that I can't, my logical mind can't explain, it feels like a miracle. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah, absolutely. And here, this thing is that people really, really feel that they have accessed something completely new,
yeah.
something completely unknown about themselves.
Yes.
It's like this feeling like seeing for the first time, almost. And that is something that we are working towards in Tantra. Yeah.
Yeah, completely, completely. I want to come back for a moment just to talk about solo practice, because some people listening to this, you know, may not have a partner to practice with, may mm-hmm. not have be ready or feel ready to say participate in a group, or maybe doing both but also want to focus on solo practice. I feel one of the reasons why you might create tantric rituals, and you know, the immediate one that comes to mind is self-pleasuring,
yeah.
learning to get into a multi-orgasmic state.
Mm-hmm.
The different, you could argue that some of the Osho active meditations are also rituals within mm-hmm. themselves. For me, at a solo level, that helps the individual kind of prepare the soil, prepare the land for experience. And what I mean by that is, if you're doing a solo, say you're doing a solo self-pleasuring mm-hmm. multi-orgasmic ritual, what you're doing in there is you're starting, aside from the experience, you're starting to learn about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're starting to learn about your body.
Mm-hmm.
You're starting to learn about different sensations. Maybe, you know, the sex that you've had or the connections you've had with other people have been a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when you're in solo practice, you know, there's you're experiencing yourself differently. Also, sorry, trying to say two things at once here. Also, like, you know, typically in our community, people use porn, if they're on their own, as a way to be in their erotic energy. And whilst there is a porn ritual to be made, I know, and and that's another topic, but actually if you're not using porn, you're not using other people, you're really on your own with your body, I don't know that that happens for many people very often, if ever. No porn, no other person, just myself. And then that creates for me the start of a tantric spiritual journey, because what your first lesson, the first port of call, is to understand your body, understand its sensations, understand your relationship, and develop your energetic body, develop your orgasmic energy to be in multi-orgasmic states. Those are all things that need to happen on your own.
Well, this is this aspect that I mentioned in the beginning. It's like you do a ritual that might on the surface be for a very kind of simple intention. Let's say I want to become multi-orgasmic, or I want to, you know, to improve my orgasm, or how long I stay hard, or whatever it is.
Yes.
And okay, then you take some of those tantric techniques that work with that, and then within the ritual you actually realize that these things do a lot more.
Yes.
These techniques do a lot more than you thought. In the sense of, you mentioned the three relationships. Oh, wow, this is not just teaching me about how to last longer or something like that. It's actually teaching me about my relationship to myself and to my sexual energy. It's teaching me about how I have been in terms of having sex with others, and is that something I want to continue this way? Is that something I want to improve? And in the very end, then these techniques will also obviously open up their more spiritual effects, you know, relationship with the cosmos.
For me, it also shows you where you may have stuff to look at, where there's certain problems, certain issues, maybe some shame is coming up. For example, you know, I know one ritual that we used to do in our early teaching days was being witnessed pleasuring yourself in front of 20 other people. And that would be hugely challenging, and no surprise why, because, you know, their people were just confronted with showing their erotic energy to a crowd of conscious people. If you were in a bathhouse, I know people have no issue at all showing their sexual energy to 20 other people, because, but in a tantric ritual, suddenly, you know, it's, you're being observed, you're being held, you're being seen, you're being witnessed. And I think ritual enables many for you to experience yourself many different ways,
yes,
and to learn and to grow and to see where you need to make some improvements or changes. So again, like the quality of sex that you may have, maybe, you know, you're never able to look at anybody in the eye, or you're not able to connect more deeply.
Yeah.
A tantric sex ritual with another partner helps you explore how to relearn those things that we were never taught. Like, you look at our sex education as men who love men, the only format we've got is porn. And whilst porn is doing a really good job at arousing people, I'm not sure that it's showing people how to have really good tantric rituals, how to have really deep, good, intimate connections with people.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So I think we've been kind of quite a way around this topic of ritual, and I wondered whether it was worth starting to maybe summarize some parts of that. So we started the conversation, you wanted to jump in at the beginning to talk about...
Yeah, we started with a kind of, you know, definition of ritual in a tantric context. What are its elements? We talked about intention.
Yes.
We talked about container.
Yes.
We talked about awareness
as
elements of the ritual, and also the techniques you wanna try out. If the in a more specifically tantric context.
Yes.
That was the first one. That's like setting the stage for what a ritual is.
And then we talked a little bit about our relationship and how ritual was a really important part of our relationship in the formative years of our relationship. Mm-hmm. And then we talked about that in a group setting. And we talked about like group rituals in our tantra trainings and starting to touch into the divine, to the mystical.
And we, divine, mystical, we talked about how ritual space can be a specific thing that can basically give you the space and the permission for the parts of you that you don't know yet, that are unknown to you, including the spiritual parts of you where you are one with everything, for those parts to actually come up and to be experienced.
And then we talked about solo tantric ritual practice and how that can help you. So it feels like we've gone a really way around. I'm aware that what we're saying is probably not for the person first thinking about starting tantra. Mm. And so I wondered whether in our last minutes we might, okay, so having heard about the potentiality, what's some of the very practical ways that somebody could start a tantric ritual, maybe from the different perspectives that we've talked about? Like, how do we make this accessible, what we're saying?
I think when I think about how I started tantra myself, you need a little bit of pinpointing.
Okay.
So what we can offer, the first thing coming to mind, if, dear reader, you have never done anything like this and don't know where to start, but maybe joining us for something like a weekend would be too much, we've got our online ashram.
We have.
In which, you know, you can learn the techniques.
Yep.
And we also hold online group rituals.
Live classes.
In there, in which... In these live classes, basically, it's possible to experience what it feels like and what it is like. And if you experience that several times online with others, you got an idea also. You learn how to hold that for yourself. Mm-hmm. You learn how to hold that for your partner, if you have one, and things like that.
And also, I think reading books can be useful to give you information. And there's articles online.
Yes, but I would actually rather start practically in this, yes.
So what you're saying is our ashram is one way to do that.
Yes, that's the lowest threshold.
Or attending like a weekend, or if you're in a city, like local events, have a look. And so what you're looking to do is start collecting ideas of certain types of practices, for example, like a multi-orgasmic practice, or you're looking to learn, say, different meditations, like the chakra breathing meditation, and adding in a sexual energy. That's also a beautiful ritual practice in itself. So I guess what you're saying is learn tantra.
Yes.
Learn the techniques of tantra.
You need, if you want to hold that for yourself or for someone else, you need to be at least a little bit solid in the techniques, and you need to have experienced the way something like this is held. And the best way is to be participant in a ritual and see how the ritual holder holds that. It's actually quite simple, but you need to experience it, in my opinion.
I also think other avenues, because you can't other avenues of exploration are around, you know, maybe learning how to do a bath massage, learning how to do some body massage, learning how to do some different types of cock massage.
These techniques. Yeah.
So it's like you're building up a repertoire of different practices and techniques. And then, you know, you're then starting to design that ritual, aren't you? You're sort of like, maybe it's with the partner. Why don't we do a ritual on Friday and talking about what that might mean? And actually, at the end of the day, the other thing I would say is it doesn't necessarily matter what you do. But coming back to what you were saying, Ingo, about intention, as long as it's fulfilling the intention. So the intention could be we're going to have some time together, some intimate time together, where the telly's not on, the phones are off, and we're just really connecting with each other. and mm-hmm. we're going to create some ideas around what we could mm-hmm. do together and share together there.
Yeah, and that's something if you have not done Tantra before, you could even start it at this kind of mundane level. You could, for example, say, what is it that my partner and I enjoy? We enjoy a bath together, or mm-hmm. we would enjoy swapping a massage, yep. for example, and yep. then say, okay, the very, very simple way of doing a ritual is, for example, to say, let's swap a massage. Mm-hmm. Let's say half an hour this way, half an hour the other way. Mm-hmm. We're going to prepare the room. Mm-hmm. We're going to have nice candles, incense, mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it's half an hour this way around mm-hmm. where I am just looking after you. Mm-hmm. And then half an hour the other way around. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very simple. Or the same thing of bathing someone and massaging them in mm-hmm. there. That could be a really, really simple, beautiful thing to start mm-hmm. off.
So we've talked a lot about tantric rituals, how to prepare one, what they are, different thoughts, different ways to create them. I think what we're saying in essence is get some experience of Tantra to then help you learn and cultivate mm-hmm. what you might bring into a tantric ritual. Yeah. Learn about the Tantra mechanics, Tantra technologies, how those practices work to enable you to, I guess, build a repertoire and create different types of rituals. I think there's a huge amount of creativity and possibility that can be created in tantric rituals as well. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of a huge area of exploration. I wanted to, as we kind of bring this to a close, just to talk about our retreat that we've got coming up called mm-hmm. Healing and Surrender. And in there, it also has rituals.
Rituals,
actually, has quite a few different rituals. Yeah. Some that are quite exploratory.
Yeah, some of them really, really push it, but in a really good way.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's called Healing and Surrender. It starts. is it Saturday?
It starts on the 30th. Saturday, the 30th of November. Is it a Saturday?
Yeah, yes. And finishes Friday, the 6th of December.
Yes.
And as we're recording this, there's only literally two or three places still
Something
left.
Something like that. It's like an amazing group is uh-huh. coming together. It's really going to be powerful.
It's in just outside Glastonbury in the UK. Easy to get to from the USA and Europe. Fly into London. 1.5-hour train and then a short taxi ride. So it's very easy to get to. And the theme is healing and surrender. We use ritual as a process of healing. We use anal massage as a process mm-hmm. of healing and real catharsis. And it can really give people a huge amount of rejuvenation. And then we deeply and profoundly look at the topic of surrender. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. in a way that's relevant to a men who loves men community.
Yes, very much.
Very little bit controversial, little bit unexpected, exciting, profound, oh my God, wow moments. Yeah, really. If you're looking to jump in and really want to learn about Tantra, this would be definitely one retreat that we would recommend to you. Okay, Ingo, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
That's been
Jason.
A very good exploration of ritual. I love the way with this podcast, actually, the way that we've probably tackled it from a very different angle than I thought we mm-hmm. were going to. Mm-hmm. We've kind of gone all the way around. So I really hope, dear listeners, that's been of service to you and gives you some ideas. We're going to see you in the next podcast, which is going to be talking about how Tantra can improve your sex life. Ingo and I are going to be talking about that in the next one. Okay, Ingo, thank you. Lots of love
Lots
to
of
you.
Lots of love, my darling.
See you on the next podcast. Bye, baby.
Bye,
bye dear listeners. Bye-bye. Hello there. So I hope you really enjoyed this episode and hope you found it really enlightening all about tantric rituals. If you'd like to find out about the Healing and Surrender Retreat, you can do that at our website, tantra4gaymen.com. And if you're interested in the ashram that we spoke about, community.tantra4gaymen.com. As we said, next podcast that we're doing is all about how Tantra can improve your sex life. So that will be another great informative episode for you. Yeah, thank you for listening. Thank you for being with us and excited to see you next time. Take care. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.